When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
In 1972, well-known paranormal researcher Ivan T. Sanderson published an article examining what he called the 12 Devil's Graveyards around the world, areas historically known for unexplained phenomena and mysterious disappearances. This list included the famous Bermuda Triangle, the Devil's Sea, and the North and South Poles. Sanderson and other researchers have gone on to try and explain why these areas are such hotbeds of unusual activity by studying their relative locations, the amount of electromagnetic radiation that surrounds the areas, and the existence of ancient megaliths within some of the regions. Is it possible that we could add one more of these vile vortices to Sanderson's list? Is there a region located on the U.S. East Coast that has claims to UFO, Bigfoot, and ghost sightings all within a strangely definable area? Join the theorists as they grab a packy and bang a couple lefts on a trip to the Bridgewater Triangle.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 142, the Bridgewater Triangle. Some wicked echo in there for me. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Listen, I don't even know why we're talking about the Bridgewater Triangle. Like, yeah, some freaky shit happens there, but that's nothing compared to Craig's Triangle.
Oh,
like,
my God.
That's the one I think we should have done. It's self-proclaimed. I've made it up. It's a new triangle. It's the triangle to defeat all other triangles.
It's the best triangle.
It's the best triangle
ever made.
Ever made. It's Craig's triangle. Do you have a image of it, Zell? You threw up for the live stream?
I do, but it's not working. Sorry. I don't know why.
It's why we don't do jokes that are based on visuals.
I have no idea why it's
well,
not working.
Basically,
bullshit.
Peak,
can't be funny. Hope you're sexy.
The peak of Craig's triangle is Yellowknife. And the two bases are San Diego and some other southern place in Florida. Just a huge triangle.
All I'm going to say is Fat Braden would have landed that, and it would have been funny. Mm. But yeah, sexy true. Braden, not so much.
Different.
I know. I've been trying to read jokes to try to reignite my funny. I don't have any good ones. Should I do a joke of the week from now on? I got one now. I can pop up. Want to hear it?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
They'll be as funny as they'll probably just be sad.
All right, yeah. I'll try. It's again, now that I'm evolving into sexy Braden, funny Braden's dead. He might not come back. Okay, I'll read a joke, see if I can hit it.
Got it.
This is, what's the difference between a good joke and a bad joke timing? I don't get it.
Good joke and what? A bad joke
what's
timing?
What's the difference between a good joke and a bad joke timing? There's Craig's triangle right there. Mm-hmm. Look at that thing.
That's a beauty.
Look at all the shit that happens in that triangle.
It's about as good as that joke that you were just saying.
So yeah.
It's good.
I liked it.
Yeah. So what was the joke? I still don't understand.
I still don't get the joke.
I don't get it either.
Say it again.
Say it again.
What's the difference between a good joke and a bad joke timing?
A good joke and a bad joke timing.
Yeah, I think you should hold off when you say timing because you're obviously fucking
a good
up the
joke
timing.
And a bad joke.
I get it now.
Timing.
Yeah.
You're purposely what? Fucking this joke up on purpose is what you're doing. I get you.
Listen, it's not the fat that makes me funny. It's the booze.
Is that an invisible bottle?
Yeah.
Look at that.
So you should pull it out.
Move it a little
air.
To your left. Move it a little to your left.
I forgot the powers of the sauce. And now that they're back, they won't ever leave.
Woo. This is how Braden got his groove back.
Yeah.
Got hammered. That boy, that's...
Ooh.
I think he's faking, though. I think that was just water.
Hit 100%. So
yeah, has to be.
Bridgewater Triangle. Let's get into it, man. There's some good stuff here.
It's cool.
Fantastic and fantabulous Bridgewater Triangle. That is an area that covers about 200 square miles within the southeastern Massachusetts of the United States. So I know I've heard of the Bridgewater Triangle. I've heard of it a couple times. I know I've come past a couple of documentaries. There's a couple of movies in the works. There's a couple of TV shows I think that are going to happen based on this thing. I think I heard about it about three or four years ago.
So my question is right off the bat is, so are triangles just more spooky than every other shape?
Yes.
Like, why is it always triangles?
Yes.
Why?
Why not?
Nothing happens outside of them.
Why can't it be a spooky rhombus?
A rhombus.
I would like a triangle.
I think like a vignette. Like it's blurred, so like doesn't have such a hard line of like spooky stuff happens within these lines. Like a vignette kind of leaves some wiggle room. You know what I mean?
That's
what I'm thinking.
No domain.
No domain.
Anything cool is always a triangle. Pyramids, supernatural areas.
Triforce.
Yeah.
Very true.
So if you're looking for the points of the 3 points of the Bridgewater Triangle, you'll find them in Abington, Rehoboth, and Freetown, which make up the farthest points of each of the triangle in southeastern Massachusetts. So within that area, you have towns like Brockton, Whitman, West Bridgewater, East Bridgewater, just regular Bridgewater, which I guess is not as cool as East or West, but is in the middle. Middleborough, Dighton, Berkeley, Rainham, Norton, Easton, Lakeville, Seekonk, and Taunton? Probably Taunton.
That sounds right.
Taunton. I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
I think
Taunton. I'm so disappointed in us right now.
Why?
We're doing a case file on something that takes place in Massachusetts, and none of us, we never practiced our fucking Boston accent.
I practiced all day and I just can't.
Really?
Do it.
Why didn't you fucking, man? The whole time, if I had a good Boston accent, the whole time I'd be saying, say hi to your mother for me. Say hi to your mother for me.
Wicked.
That's not a Boston accent. That's a Marky Mark accent.
That's what I'm saying though. I would have practiced, but that's all I got. I got, say hi to your mother for me, or I'm not a cop. That's all I got.
I don't even know if I've ever tried
Marky
a Boston
Mark's
accent.
Dighton. Berkeley.
Marky Mark segue really quick.
No, I can't do it.
Marky Mark.
I recently watched The Happening again, and his performance in that fucking movie.
Beautiful.
I don't know why they didn't hand the man an Oscar. I could have been in that movie. You could sub out every scene with me going like this. What? No!
What? No!
Can someone give me a minute? Can I just have a minute?
I'm a science teacher.
Dude, it's bad. But that's a...
Isn't he a science teacher? He's a science teacher in that one, right?
That's the one where the plants
decide take over?
To kill people.
Yeah, I know, but like, isn't his character like a science teacher or something?
Yeah.
I'm a biology teacher.
You guys better not be besmirching Marky Mark right now. This is ridiculous.
Marky Mark.
We're not besmirching. We're saying he's
some
genuinely
respect.
Great actor.
How are you? Let's hand the keys back to Dan here.
Where are we? Bridgewater, Massachusetts.
Bridgewater.
Bridgewater is... The Bridgewater Triangle is a creepy place. Just a ton of weird, crazy shit happens in there. That it's just got a little bit of everything that you... Anything and everything that makes stuff spooky, apparently this place has it.
You got stuff from UFOs, so, Bigfoot, supernatural, axe murderers, fuck, you name it. It's all happening in this 200 square mile triangle.
Right. In that triangle or kind of near it, but something about that area apparently makes this place like super spooky. The first person to name it or identify or correlate all the events and all the kind of spooky shit that happens in this Bridgewater Triangle is Lauren Coleman, who is a famous paranormal researcher in his own right. He runs an actual, it's like the International Cryptid Museum or Cryptozoological Museum there in Massachusetts. He dubbed it the Bridgewater Triangle in the 1970s. And if you know about the guy, Chris Pittman, he's also a researcher on the Bridgewater Triangle. And a lot of the information that we get, a lot of the stories that have been collected and eyewitness accounts have been come from his research, which he's been researching a lot of the stuff that has happened from about like the 1980s on. So he's compiled a lot of research and a lot of stuff.
Is he the guy that he's got the movie, like the documentary?
Right. There's a good documentary on Amazon Prime. They're not paying us to say that. So
I'm sure he's got a few good documentaries, a few good movies, lots of merchandise.
Amazon Prime doesn't pay you to do anything.
We know that firsthand.
Found out the hard way.
Checks in the mail, boys.
Checks in the mail.
Goddamn, checks Lex in the mail. Ripping us off.
Within the Bridgewater Triangle, apparently one of the really spookiest places is you have a place called the Hockomock Swamp.
I know about the Hockomock Swamp. That's where Prince Philip got tagged for the three count, and lost his fucking wampum title. At the romp at the swamp,
the romp
to my boy fucking Pat Patriot.
Yeah, and it's King Philip. How dare you sully his name calling him Prince Philip? How dare you?
He's nothing but a prince. And he got that pinned like a little biatch and lost the wampum title.
Listen, I'm going to take some serious exception to that because everyone knows about the Hockomock Screwjob. And he was ripped out of that title. Listen, Andrew, there's a reason King, there's a curse King on that Philip. Place and it's not going to come back until the belt is returned.
King Philip screwed King Philip. Guy got tagged. Simple as that. Three count, baby.
Zell, get rid of his camera.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's
get him off the feed.
You want to get rid of it?
How dare. That's some unbelievable.
Boom, gone.
Sucks to suck, man. Sucks to suck.
Dude, King Philip was screwed out of the title, and that's why there's a curse, because the belt was taken from him. You know,
there was a curse because he's a sore loser and he lost his belt. Simple as that.
Well,
Patriot done since that? One fucking
lost
six
his belt,
Super Bowls?
And he lost his head because he was decapitated. And if you guys have no idea what Braden or Andrew are talking about, that's King Philip, who was the chief of the Wampanoag tribe that lived in the area during the, you know, early days of colonization of the Massachusetts area. So the colonists and the Native Americans that lived in the area were in conflict for a long time. You know, as tensions boiled over, there was a long and bloody war conflict between them, which they ended up calling King Philip's War. King Philip, the leader
AKA
of
the romp in the swamp.
Right. Eventually, you know, by all accounts, it's a pretty brutal conflict. You know, women, children, civilians, people who weren't even really fighting, you know, died in droves. 3,000 Native Americans died as opposed to like 300. The casualties and colonists were in the hundreds, while you had like 3,000 Native American casualties.
And this is also too after these guys were fucking ravaged by smallpox.
Yep,
very much.
You know what I mean? Like it said, like the Algonquins lost 90% of their population to smallpox.
Mm-hmm. That was
so you,
yeah,
fucking wild.
North America wide.
300,000 deaths from this fucking Phillips battle.
Yep.
Jesus.
When they ended up catching King Philip, due to the one of the either a traitor or he was from another tribe, you know, there's kind of all that intertribal conflict that they had going on. The colonists ended up beheading him, and then, as was tradition to traitors or losing sides of the battle, they take that head and they put it on a pike outside one of their major towns. For quite a long time.
In other words, this is obviously a hardcore match. No rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could say that.
Like, obviously. And, yeah, Romping the Swamp, hardcore.
And movie. Obviously the start of a supernatural phenomenon lasting hundreds of years.
Sure. Well,
everybody knows fucking Indian burial grounds are like fucking ground zero for paranormal shit.
Yeah, if Poltergeist has told us anything,
yep,
that's what happens. Steven Spielberg knows his shit, and we know he does.
He's done it all.
Definitely ancient Indian burial grounds. So, yeah, that's one of the theories about why so much weird stuff happens here is because that there is a legend or rumor that there was an ancient Native American curse put on this area. But it's not that this place was, you know, cursed, you know, before or after so much that this conflict happened. There's legends going back, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of years, the Native Americans who lived in that place and depended on or hunted in the swamp. It was one of their major ways of obtaining food and shelter. They found this swamp, which they called, they named it Hockomock Swamp, which means place where spirits dwell.
Oh, so long before the bloody battle, the native people of that area knew this place was haunted as fuck.
Yeah, or they revered it, or they had legends of, you know, this is where spirits dwell. It was a holy place. There was spiritual energy here, that coalesced here, perhaps produced.
So then, you know, everyone knows it's a good mix to add a ton of murder, pain, and suffering to an area like this.
Of course.
On like a grand scale.
That does not really help things.
That really helps things along when in the paranormal department. If you want now, something haunted.
But there is like, we, you know, all jokes aside with the Wanap Belt, is it the Wanap Belt? How do I say it again?
The Wampum.
Wampum Belt. There is like one of the theories is that there was a stolen the King Philip's Wampum Belt was stolen, his like sacred belt, and like it was cursed until that belt is returned.
Right. And nobody knows where that is. Like, there is a story that the Wampum Belt was taken or given to somebody as a show of a sign of surrender or peace. And that it has, the curse is there until that belt is returned to its place.
Boys, I know our next pod trip.
Bridgewater Triangle right to Hockomock Swamp.
Yeah.
Directly and save.
Listen, we'll finally put an end to 2020 by placing the belt on top of the altar at the Bridgewater Triangle.
I mean, Hockomock Swamp does not sound like a super fun place to hang out. I mean, it's like 6,000 acres of apparently black rivers, marshes and ponds, thickets and cedar and maple trees, beds of brush, twisting vines, sinkholes, quicksand.
All right, Dan, you sound wicked smart, okay? But wicked listen smart. For a second. Does it not sound like this curse is starting to boil out of the triangle and it's maybe starting to envelop more than just the Bridgewater Triangle? Because it's starting to feel like we're all cursed right now. So I'm just saying, if there's a way we can potentially end this, I'm going to say
it's the Craig Triangle is actually doing more harm than good here. That's encompassing all of North America. So nothing ever good comes out of triangles.
100%.
Or Craig's.
True, both counts.
So you know, the Hockomock Swamp is a definitely area that is of interest to paranormal researchers. With it's contains legends, it contains, you know, a lot of paranormal researchers, or, you know, the ghost community, spirit community would find that place extremely interesting because you have a long history of human habitation there. Like you guys said, we have the makings of a haunting. You have pain, you have suffering.
Yeah, they have like, it's like 9,000 years old of like human remains or settlements been found there. So this place has been around forever.
And so with all that long history of human habitation of that area, so you have legends going back at least that far. And so one of the other legends to come out of the Hockomock Swamp is the legends or sightings, history of large, hairy hominids inhabiting that area as well. So you have
Bigfoot.
Bigfoot.
You got fucking Bigfoots.
Yeah, Bigfoots. The Bigfoot sightings, one of the most recent ones, or one of the more recent ones, you have one guy named Joseph DeAndre, who is a firm believer that the swamp is the habitat of some sort of creature that has not been identified. So your typical Sasquatch, right? Your large 7 to 8 foot hairy hominid hanging out in a swamp, sparsely populated areas where they could perhaps hide. Again, you have 6,000, maybe 6,000 acres that they could hide in. And like, not only that swamp itself, but that swamp is actually part of a bigger area, which is like 17,000 acres, which they consider an area of critical environmental concern. So it's like, you don't have any people living there. So, DeAndre, had an encounter himself when he was 24 back in 1978. And he said that he was standing on the shore of Clay Banks, which is a pond located in Bridgewater near the swamp. And his quote goes a little bit like this. Does anybody want to do a wicked Boston accent? Want to give it their best?
Man. Let's try. Everyone try a line. A Boston accent.
I was standing there. I can't do it.
I was standing there, and for some reason, I've got a Boston accent in me, I don't think.
I can't do it. I was standing there.
Had to turn around.
And for some reason, I had to turn around. I do it with a lisp.
All I can say is like, you fucking firefighters. I'm departed.
Wicked smart. How you like them apples?
So his quote goes a little bit
Where's
like this.
Where's my khakis? My khakis.
My khakis.
Car.
Wicked. Wicked smart. I was standing there, and for some reason, I had to turn around. It was a chill or something inside me, and I turned around, and there, off to the right, maybe 200 yards away, there was this, well, I don't know what it was. It was a creature that was all brown and hairy, like a big apish and man thing. I was making its way for the woods, but I didn't stick around to watch where it was going. I ran for the street.
Yeah, 100%. Dude, I like that story a lot because that's what anyone would do. Anyone that's like, I'd stick around to see. I'm like, dude, it's a fucking animal that you don't know of. You'd be so scared. But is this a guy that dresses like Kraven the Hunter?
Yes.
Is this him?
Kraven. Whoa, what?
Yeah, dude, he dresses like he's on a safari 24/7. He's like, I seen Bigfoot in the woods. I was like, I have a hard time believing him just because he dresses the way he does. I'm like,
I mean, Sergey Kravinoff would have hunted fucking Bigfoot down. This guy's a
poser. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Well, he dresses the part. Let's put it that way. But I like that story and like listening to him talk. He sounds reasonable. I've looked into the eyes of Bob Gimlin and I know that man's seen a Bigfoot. And I didn't, looked into this guy's eyes and I was like, meh.
Bob Gimlin, the man, said, hey, you got to buy a keychain to get a picture.
he said, though, hey, don't put that evil on Bob. He said, I don't want you to, but they're asking.
Yeah, it's because he's a salesman. He's telling you exactly what you want to hear.
I mean, I'm not necessarily wild by this guy's description either. All he said was big, brown, and hairy. That's half my family members.
Look at those eyebrows. Yeah. Look at Andrew's eyebrows. That's just going to translate into massive unibrow in about 5 years.
It already does.
Oh, it already does.
Fix that.
Yeah, but he's plucking. He's plucking.
If you notice the width of that thing, the width right now, that's a perfect Bic razor blade right between. Look at it. Look square on.
Buddy, straight down.
Listen, I'll find it because my camera's so shitty, but I got like Whoville. I've got Whoville fucking hairs coming out of my eyebrow, like fucking 3 inches long. Crazy.
I'm telling you,
it's nuts. Here, look it. There, can you see it?
You'd be able to braid it.
That's how long it is.
Yeah,
yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
It's a little bit of Lebanese mongoose for you.
Yeah, disgusting.
So Joseph DeAndre is not the only person who has sighted a large hairy hominid in the area. One person named John Baker, who is a veteran fur trapper from the area, said that he was about a mile from his West Bridgewater home. In a canoe on the river that fed into the swamp. and he was laying muskrat lines during one winter night. And he said that he saw this creature, and he said that, you know, being a veteran hunter, he knew it wasn't human because he said he could smell it.
Smell it. Like a skunky. Right? It's, well, his quote was a skunk musty, smelled like a skunk musty and dirty.
It's fucking Argentina skunk monkey right there.
And by the time he died in 2001, over the, like, in 30 years of tramping the swamp, he said he never seen such a creature.
Or smelt.
And definitely didn't smell it.
And we know, I mean, we know we have lots of many, many accounts of, you know, Bigfoot type creatures giving off that type of smell. Whether perhaps, you know, the Pacific Northwest Bigfoot is different. You know, sometimes you don't have the smell, or this is maybe some type of skunk ape.
Florida skunk ape.
Be that.
Swamp cabbage man.
Swamp 100%.
Man. Skunk monkey.
Swamp Dude, this guy's another guy where it's like, I know a couple guys that are like fur trappers and trappers and like just hardened outdoorsmen. And I just have a hard time that like just one day they're like, I'm just going to make up a fucking bullshit story and I'm just going to run with it till I die. Yeah. What else
do
I got to do?
Coureurs de Bois?
What does that mean?
You never heard of Coureurs de Bois?
No. I don't speak French.
You're fucking slacking in grade 4 fucking social studies.
That's an old fur trader term.
Hell yeah. Coureurs de Bois.
Listen, I was too busy being cool in grade 4.
No, yeah, I bet. I bet.
I knew this guy in grade 4. He was a gem. He was fat Braden back then. Then he got skinny Braden. Then he went fat Braden. Now he's skinny Braden again.
I peaked in elementary school. Like grade 4, man. Grade 4, I was going to be prom king. I was going to be.
All I know is you weren't cool enough to ride on my fucking GT Snow Racer, pal.
it's all been downhill since before.
He was a spiteful little kid, man.
26 years later, he's still spiraling out of control.
It's 27.
27 years. Yeah, even worse.
Yeah.
All right, so we got ancient native burial grounds, ancient like native battles, probably unleashing spirits of unknown power onto this land. You got Bigfoot sightings. What else makes this area so paranormally activated?
What else makes it paranormally activated?
Yeah, like what
hold on. Before we get there, let's have a quick beer break before we take the next.
True, I got to go crack one here real quick. Yeah. Let's take a quick beer break.
I got to make
another drink. Look, are you like Dan? You got a trip to Thailand coming up and you want to impress the locals? Well, then you want Rosetta Stone. It's been the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 different languages offered. It's got fast language acquisition. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's convenient, flexible learning anytime, anywhere. Learn on the go with mobile app or at your desktop on your own schedule. Rosetta Stone has amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's a lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off.
Sure, there's competitors to Rosetta Stone, but Rosetta Stone offers more languages and a lifetime membership. You could go over to Babbel and get 60% off, but it's not for a lifetime. That's why we're promoting Rosetta Stone today. All right, Theorites, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Alien Theorist Theorizing listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your damn life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today or look for the link in the show notes. Peace.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
So, we were talking about Sasquatches. Hairy hominids.
No, we're talking about what's next in the swamp, the other things they see. We already talked about hominids.
Right, no, but I'm saying, so there's apparently another type of some sort of supernatural being that manifests itself as not the 7 foot tall, 8 foot tall Sasquatch creatures. You also apparently have some sort of smaller, like 3 to 4 foot hairy monkey people, I guess. I don't know. I've seen pictures of them and it's creepy. Like, it's just whatever. But
what do you mean pictures? Like an artist rendering or someone thought they actually took
like
a picture?
Like an artist, not an actual picture, sorry. Like an artist rendering of what was sighted. One of the best eyewitness accounts of these creatures, which are called puck wedgies.
Puck wedgies?
Wait a second. What did you say?
Puck wedgies.
Isn't that, aren't those the girls in high school that only date hockey players? Isn't that what they're called?
I think so.
Yeah, puck wedgies.
There's a picture
puck
of a
wedgies.
There's a picture of a puck wedgie. It looks like a troll, like one of those weird trolls with like, has like a porcupine head.
It's pretty accurate.
Porcupine.
If I
name.
Remember high school.
It looks like
correctly.
A high school girl that only dates a fucking hockey player. Looks about right.
You're right. I remember there's tire wedgies. There was lax wedgies. Yeah. All sorts of different wedgies.
Okay, there you go.
That is not exactly the one that I'm referring to, but apparently somebody who has seen one, you have an account from one person named William Russo, who lived near the Hockomock Swamp. And he had a story where he said that he encountered one of these beings during one of his late night walks with his dog. At the time, William was working apparently like the midnight to 3 a.m. or, you know, one of the late night shifts at the time. And so he would usually get off about midnight and then he would take his dog for a walk in their area within their towards their center of town. During that time. Now, exactly. So when he was
what the fuck is
choo,
no, what are you doing?
Choo, Ewan choo.
That is the sound that William Russo reported that he heard his dog.
That's what he heard. That's exactly what he heard, actually. Picture the creature. Okay, I'll bring the creature back.
Yeah.
If you can't see the live stream,
find the better one, not that one.
Not that
one. Find the William Russo one.
What do you mean? That looks like a troll doll. That's perfect.
There is.
Is this okay? Maybe this is the one. Oh yeah, this is Ewan Chu. Ewan Chu. Kerr.
That one.
Is that the one you're talking about?
That's the one I'm talking about.
It looks like I don't know.
Do the
looks
like what a is capuchin it? What does monkey. It sound like, Sel?
Oh, it sounds like
Chu Chu Ewan Chu.
Exactly.
I now know Zell's new D&D character.
Yeah.
So Russo said that this creature was making a sound and it sounded like it was trying to mimic human speech of a type.
Really?
Yeah, it was more like, I think he said when he says it, like a couple documentaries, couple interviews, right? He says it's more like, it's not like Kira, is like Kia, Kia, Ewan Chu, Ewan Chu. And when he saw this creature, he said that the creature, like it put itself within like a center of one of the street lights. It put itself within a kind of like a circle of light, and that it was reaching out. It seemed to be reaching out to him, almost beckoning him to come like towards it.
He's going to take a chomp out of his fucking carotid, probably. Right.
No, thank you. Russo reported that he remembers vividly the reaction that his dog had. His dog was something like a Doberman Rottweiler mix. It was a large dog, 90-pound dog.
That's a goddamn hellhound from Resident Evil. What are they like?
Yeah. And he said that, you know, he made a point to relate that his dog is normally fearless. This dog is, you know, not to be trifled with. But for some reason, even before he saw that or he heard the Pukwudgie making these sounds, like the dog had started almost shaking uncontrollably. Like it was afraid of something. And that it was when it saw this thing, William Russo saw this thing and the dog also saw this thing. The dog wasn't barking. It was more like it was trying to get away. It wasn't what he would consider like a normal reaction to something like this.
Maybe his dog's just a huge wuss.
Not according to him. It was a Rottweiler Doberman hellhound
mix.
I get bull. Yeah, I just can't see it being that much of a pussy.
Well, I mean, this thing's only 3 feet tall, man. It just doesn't seem that big. Like, doesn't seem that menacing to a dog. Like,
maybe it's got some supernatural powers.
Speaking on some dog wavelength.
The choo choo Ewan choo, some type of.
Russo said he interpreted it to kind of be like what he thinks it was trying to mimic, like. The Kia was like supposed to be like here, like it was mimicking, like it was saying here, or it was mimicking the sound of human speech or what I had heard or interpreted.
Well, it sounds like he's saying here, me want you.
Right. Exactly.
Here,
and that is
here.
What
choo choo me want you.
And that's the same thing that Russo interpreted to be saying. He said that it was we want you and it was reaching out to perhaps
kill him.
Listen. Take him somewhere.
The guy's going to bend down, like try and pick it up. Oh, it's like a little kid. You go to pick up the little kid by the arms, whatever. No, then it just chomps on your neck, rips you out. You bleed to death in 5 seconds and then just eats you.
Buddy, I'm kicking a field goal.
Sucks you into another dimension or something.
Yeah, another dimension pulls you in.
Things getting punted.
Buddy, I'm not even going anywhere near that spider monkey little bastard. I want nothing to do with that fucking thing.
What if he came charging you?
Buddy, look what those what the Ewoks so did to stormtroopers, man. I'm a fucking.
They crushed AT-ST's armor plated heads with logs.
Nah, no thanks.
They've got really low centers of gravity and they're pretty solidly built. So it's
those little Care Bear bastards can fuck right off. Nothing to do with it. Yeah.
So that's one of the other legends to come out of the Bridgewater Triangle. Now, if you move on from the type of like these type of creatures, you have other reports of other types of creatures living with or, you know, appearing within the Bridgewater Triangle. So you've got these reports of hellhounds or some sort, red-eyed dogs of like unusual size.
Who's the guy? And he called the police because there was like a giant black dog menacing him and it tore. He said it footloosed two ponies' throats.
Footloose? I mean Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Fucking Dalton.
Instantly. He's like, I didn't even have time to think, and it just throat ripped two.
It's not even Patrick Swayze, buddy. That's Kevin Bacon, isn't it?
What? No,
it's like,
what?
This fucking footloose. Yeah, this footloose. Fucking thing.
It's not even Patrick Swayze. However you fucking besmirch the Swayze. What's wrong with you?
Man, because I'm good looking. That's what's wrong. You know,
Footloose.
I'm sexy now, Andrew. Dirty you know Dancing. Exactly what's
Man,
wrong.
You blew it. Go get a fucking Big Mac in you, buddy.
It's just some guys out there dancing with ponies, man. He footloosed my ponies so quick. Footloose. Everybody turn footloose. No, throat ripped these two ponies instantly. This guy was terrified. Said this. Dog,
of course.
This black beast was gigantic, and it just took off. And there's other reports of this giant black dog like terrorizing.
Are we talking like dire wolf size?
We're talking serious black.
yeah, big wolf, man. It's throat ripping.
Throat ripping ponies,
like the size of a pony. So like a dog a size, because the when they related the story, at least when I listened to the story told by by Lauren Coleman, who had reported on this, like, you know, as a cryptozoological studier of that area, he said that these dogs are like the same size of the ponies that they were throat ripping.
Jesus. So you got Bigfoots, you got giant dogs, you got hellish Ewoks.
Well, and there's also reports of giant cats too.
Oh, great.
Right? Like there's been tons of sightings of giant cats, and now there's like various reports of people being like, it's just a normal cat. And then people are like, that's not a fucking normal cat. It's ginormous.
So they got pumas, mountain lions up in that region?
I don't know. I don't know if you have pumas in.
Do they go that far north? Dan, would you know?
But those are big cats, man. Like, even if there is one, like a mountain lion, I would be more inclined to, like, if someone who had never seen a mountain lion saw a mountain lion, you'd be like, I've seen one once, and I knew what it was, and I was still like, that's a big cat, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
There's two accounts of giant wild cats in 97 and 2001. Verified puma scat, says sciencezine.com.
Yeah, so there's but probably pumas, not in that area. I don't think it, southeast.
Yeah, it just...
It might be over on the western side of Massachusetts, but I don't think it's going to be in the southeast.
Yeah, it's too long of an article to read. But anyways, giant cats, yeah, giant dogs, Bigfoot, hellish Ewoks.
Cryptid galore.
Got a few Ford Thunderbirds.
Yeah, sightings of Thunderbirds, yeah.
What is a Thunderbird? Like Zapdos?
Yeah, pretty much. It's supposed to be the god, of, like god of the sky, pretty much. In a lot of Native American like lore. There's like that, like their gods would be like Thunderbird. Well, I know
Trans Am,
Phoenix, Articuno, was it Moltres?
Firebird,
Moltres,
Articuno, yep. Zapdos, and there's another one, isn't there?
Technically Lugia, the water one.
Mm.
But what's the thing with the Thunderbirds? Are they like, do they come out in thunderstorms? Is that the only time?
Yeah, they're god of the sky. Yeah.
They'd be like the heralds of storms and things like that. You'd have a Thunderbird that would come on the storm.
That's also terrifying. So tons of terrifying thing, the Bridgewater cryptids. What else we got?
So another one that you have is often you have these sightings of UFOs in the area. Apparently sightings have been going on, at least like one of the earliest accounts I could find is in 1908, where two undertakers were on their way from West Bridgewater to regular Bridgewater. And they reported what they saw in the sky as a giant lantern. And they said it hovered in the sky for nearly 40 minutes.
Wait, so two undertakers seeing a UFO in 1908.
Yeah, that's one.
That's one.
That's the earliest one. I'm just saying that's the earliest one.
Well, I read there's actually like as early, like that one researcher, who was his name at the start? Lauren Coleman?
Lauren. Yeah.
I think in his book, he actually says in like the farthest account he could find of a UFO was like some type of giant like fireball type thing in the sky in 1760.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I wonder if the two undertakers were so shocked by this image that their eyes rolled back in their head.
And then the lights went out.
Yeah. Then you heard a big bell toll.
They choke slammed each other into the mat.
Yeah. That's
where the move came from.
It was probably the same one, the same undertaker.
Probably.
He's undead.
That Paul Bear in the back. Oh, Undertaker.
I can't do a good Paul Bear anymore. Too sexy.
Fuck, man. Can you share a picture of you looking like the looking like Paul Bear, please? The lowest moment in your entire life. Can you please share that?
I'll tell the story after on After Hours. So if you're on our Patreon, I'll tell the story.
The day
of when
I crumbled
guys,
Braden. I crumbled him with this.
Crumbled me
sentence.
on a big day for me.
And I didn't even mean, dude, I didn't even mean to be a shitty person.
Yeah, you meant
I was just
it.
Make,
we'll talk
no,
about
I didn't.
Later.
I just tried to make an observation.
Fish that story in After Hours.
So we got Tune one UFO. There's plenty more UFOs in the Bridgewater.
Right. You have another sighting in the summer of 1999 by Courtney Cullen, who said that they were having a cookout near Lake Nippinicket, or as they call it, the Nip, apparently is the cool thing to call it.
Up in the Nip.
I'd slip in the Nip.
Little slippery Nip. When she heard it, her quote is just quintessentially Boston. Suddenly it was a noise. Wicked loud.
Wicked loud.
Wicked loud.
wicked loud. And next there were lights.
Wicked loud.
She reported that there were no color, but there were just bright lights. And they seemed to be descending fast and coming straight from the house from behind where they were having their cookout. She said that it seemed that the lights were on a trajectory almost to crash into the house, but right before they were to crash into the house, they darted sideways at an unbelievable speed and they just disappeared off into the distance. So she just remembers that. Also, she noted that after these UFOs disappeared, there was at least one helicopter that appeared in the sky. More than one.
Black helicopter.
She didn't say it was black helicopter. So it's more than one helicopter, but
always black helicopters, always after UFO sightings.
Was there two guys that were wearing strangely fitting black suits and makeup knocking on people's doors after this?
Poorly applied makeup?
Making things appear and disappear.
Okay, so the people who aren't listening to who are listening to the podcast can't see that.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Just picture the joke.
I'm doing magic right now, basically. Yeah. Sleight of hand magic for everyone that's listening. So that's why you want to watch us live. Uncut.
And uncut,
I do
raw.
Sleight of hand magic. Close up hand. Sleight of hand magic.
Street magic on Skype. Now, so not only do you have these sightings, I know there's at least one other sighting where they said that they saw some type of UFO that was shaped in this they said they described it as looking like a home plate from a baseball game.
Oh, that's a weird
diamond shape.
Yeah, like a home plate.
Yeah,
But that's like it's like a half a diamond almost, and then square on the top. Pretty much.
No, it's square on the bottom.
No, it points on the bottom. Or is it point on the top?
Point on the top.
Point on the top.
Point facing the picture.
Square with a triangle on top.
Is that trapezoid? Yeah. Is that what that's called? Square with the triangle on top? Is that trapezoid?
Who is wicked smart?
Who's wicked smart? Yeah. What's a trapezoid?
I have no idea, dude. I'm not even going to pretend to know. I have no idea. Dan, do you know?
No, it's definitely not.
Pentagon. It's a pentagon.
It's not a pentagon.
Not a pentagon, no.
Yeah.
I just fucking Googled
one,
it. It's
two,
just pentagon.
Three, four, five. It's five sides, so it's a pentagon, yes.
Yes. Fucking suck it. Guess
trapezoid is
smart.
two parallel sides and one.
And two angles, yeah.
And two angled sides.
Wicked smart and wicked,
wicked
fast.
Wicked smart.
Quit pretending you're a fucking townie.
I'm not a cop. Say hi to your mother for me.
What? No.
Give me a minute. Can I just get a minute?
I'm a biologist.
Say hi to your mother for me.
What other stuff do we have going on at the Bridgewater Triangle?
Well, the last real strange thing that you have is this you could actually go look at this if you're there, which I think would actually be fun to check out, is there's this thing that they call the Dighton Rock. So the Dighton Rock is this large piece of stone that has been excavated, and it is it lies across from the grassy island burial grounds of Hockomock Swamp on the river over there, the Taunton River. And it seems to have numerous inscriptions of unknown origins carved into the face of the rock. So there's tons of speculations about what these inscriptions could possibly be. They go from, you know, Native Americans who lived in the area perhaps had written in their language on the rock. I don't know if Zell can pull up a picture of it. Yeah, he's got it up there.
Yeah.
So
it's weird.
Yeah. And it's Native Americans. Some people think it's Norse runic language. Some people think it's Phoenicians. There's one theory out there that it's even a type of Chinese. And there's also Latin. That it's a type of shorthand Latin from Portuguese explorers that might have visited the area before English settlers.
That's like ancient geocaching. Kind of, You go there, no matter, like, all the civilizations of the time would go there, mark it down, and then others, you gotta go try and match it.
Yeah, and it is a really strange piece. This is a really strange artifact, because it is, like, it's not like etchings that are, you know, either natural or just even strangely natural, you know, remarkably naturally formed. It's like they're actual inscriptions in there, and they're not recently done. It's definitely not a hoax.
It's not some fucking tag is.
Well, in the picture we're looking at, the one I pulled up, it looks like chalk, but is that probably just like it's etchings and then people like chalk into it just so you can read it better?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just a lot of it's not only it's not like alphabet language. There's like pictographs in there. Some people have said picture, like shapes of faces. People have been able to kind of identify if you look at it. It's really strange, and it's really, you know, fascinating to take a look at. If anybody wants to look it up,
it seems to be just the one. It's a giant boulder. Like it's like a 60 ton boulder. It seems to be, from the accounts I could find, that's the only real thing like that there.
Yeah, it's the only thing like it in that area, or even really anywhere. So, and nobody has any idea. There's been like one or two actual academic papers written about it. I think some people have actually, you know, the big contenders are the Portuguese, that a Portuguese explorer had visited the area, or there were records of a Portuguese exploring party had somehow been in the area at some point, and they had written in like a shorthand Latin on that rock.
Pretty much everyone knows that Columbus didn't discover the New World. He wasn't the first like person from another continent to come. Like, they
No.
Imagine that. They still teach it in school.
No,
they still teach it in school. But they know for a fact that on like Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, like Vikings actually were there like 1,000 years prior. So it's, and I'm looking at the map right now. And so if there's settlements on like, well, if you go with Oak Island mystery, they think they found some some Norse like runes on there. And it's actually not that far. If you're already made it that far sailing to go down the coast from Nova Scotia down Maine to Massachusetts, it's not that far. So it would make sense. Like, I bet you like the Vikings, like the Norse, like probably did that whole coast. I'm not sure how far they made it, but if they made it to Nova Scotia, I don't think it's much of a stretch to say they made it just a little farther south.
Yeah, and that's definitely one of the top theories that kind of sits in there. I mean, people have proposed that idea since 1837, you know, and some mainstream archaeologists like to reject that theory. But again, like you're saying, it makes a good point that perhaps the Norse had made it a little bit farther, or, you know, one or two ships had made it farther than we previously thought.
And don't they think like just on global exploration, haven't they found like Egyptians were probably like intersea sailors as well? And like a whole bunch of other tribes that initially they thought probably didn't make it that far probably may have sailed the oceans.
There's definitely possibilities. I haven't read up as much on it as much as I probably should, but I definitely know that, you know, there's theories that perhaps the Egyptians had been inter-Atlantic explorers, or at least one or two ships maybe had made it across the Atlantic Ocean, or even civilizations like the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians were legendary sailors.
They're the first people to circumnavigate Africa.
That's a fact.
Damn apples.
So,
Lebanese.
So they had perhaps.
Wait, Phoenician Empire was like Lebanon.
Yeah,
that was like home base Lebanon for the Phoenicians.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you go.
What's what like? Isn't there's a lot of ghosts in the Bridgewater Triangle as well? I know we talked about
the ledge.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
There's talks of someone they call, well, there's multiple different ones, but the main one they talk about is like the redhead stranger, or the redhead hitchhiker, which many people have seen. And I think like the main story, what are you laughing at? Smirking at me. No, you guys are both smirking right now.
No, I just remembered something earlier.
Yeah, and then I was smiling because I was like, is he not going to say it because he wants me to say it so then he can
I thought get you were mad gonna at me later? I thought you were going to steal
well,
my
Well, that's
shit.
Why. I'm not going to steal it.
Oh, I get what you're going for. We'll see what happens here.
This calls back to your joke all about comedic timing. It's already fucking ruined.
It's ruined.
It's too long. Late. Yeah. That's why
well,
I started
Well, if you sit
smirking.
There and you let him steal it, then he's going to steal it.
Yeah, I was like, is he not going to say that gold line he said earlier? He's
going to
let
me up again,
Zell.
Set me up again.
Yeah, cue it back. We'll edit this.
There's a main theory about, or the main poltergeist, or the main ghost that people see on the road, on Route 44, it's called, is the Redhead Stranger or the Redhead Hitchhiker.
Hey, I know what that is.
No, you know, oh, you motherfucker. You motherfucker. Okay, go ahead, do it.
One more time.
Isn't that where you sit on your hand with a red glove?
Brutal.
I don't remember what the rest of
that
the
was fucking
you blew
brutal.
It. Fat Braden would have nailed
Fat Braden
that.
Nailed
you stole
sure.
my joke, and he would have got a huge pop. But Skinny Braden over here. That's
it. There can only be one.
That's
Too
it.
Many cheekbones. Not enough laughs.
Too many cheekbones.
Too much definition on that jawline.
Guy's yeah. only got one chin now. What a fucking nerd.
It sucks. It sucks.
Nothing from him.
I got nothing to shake.
Thinks he's the man. Thought it was all Return to the Mac with those jokes, and it's Return to the Big Mac, more like. Fucking sucks.
Just wait till I get back on the Macs.
You fucking suck.
What other ghost? So we got the redheaded stepchild. What's her deal?
What's well, his and well, the famous story is there, like a man and a wife were driving on Route 44 and they stopped for whatever reason on the side of the road and he got out and he pretty much seen this redheaded stranger and upon looking at him, his face looked distorted. He looked like corpsey, you would say. And then when he went back to the car, the wife had gotten out because on the radio, she heard pretty much Ouija board voices coming through.
What were they sound like?
Probably sound like
he wants you.
Shumana. Probably sounded like this.
Andrew. Hey, what the fuck is that button?
Fuck you.
What's that button say?
You pushed a fucking button. That's my Andrew pushing.
If you have not seen
you pushed a fucking button.
You haven't seen that?
Did.
That's that's Ouija 3. Playing with Ouija 3. That's on Patreon. Maybe we'll release it 1 year later for the public feed, but we'll get there.
Is it not public?
Be. It's not public.
I don't think it should ever be public, please and thank you.
It was such a good joke. I wanted to save it, save so the impact.
Bad. Yeah. Halloween, dude. Halloween.
Halloween. We'll release, we'll release it 1 year later.
I can't believe there's people out there that haven't listened to that yet. Look, it's spectacular.
Enjoy it at my expense.
The funny thing is, I also got scared because I won't ruin it, but I also get scared. You can hear it in my voice.
Yeah, that was back when you were fat and fun. And good
I was fun, yeah.
Now you're chiseled and boring.
Yeah, I'm not chiseled. I just look better in a t-shirt.
Sexy Braden.
Stupid sexy Braden.
I just fill up my short shorts a little better. Actually, a little less better. They're a little loose now.
I bet.
Not so tight on the thighs.
Now we're just flat Braden, not fat Braden, but we got flat Braden.
Dude, I'm fucking riding my bike on pelvic bones. It sucks.
Should have never let you get that Peloton sponsorship. Ruined everything.
Yeah.
Ruined it. Anyways, I lost where
that's
we were.
That's why my feed is way nicer than your guys.
Is that why mine looks the shittiest? Is that what it
I got
is?
I got that Peloton money. we're talking about the redheaded ghost.
I lost it.
Any other
ghosts?
Well,
I mean, you definitely have lots of, paranormal activity in this area. It was one of the earliest settlement sites in the U.S. of, European settlers coming over to the United States. So it's definitely like, it's also makes it one of the places with the most cemeteries. It has a lot of cemeteries because there were so many settlers from the early days. So you have a lot of reports of these ghosts and some of these, a lot of cemeteries where there's a lot of, ghost spirit activity. You have ones of people say that they see some sort of one cemetery. I think it's in Freetown. They have like a dark man of some sort that will wander through. The people have seen him wandering through between the headstones, like touching the headstones. Some people have seen him like pounding on the ground at some point. and wailing or something like that. Because I mean, as soon as you see that, fuck you're going to take off. I don't suppose anybody goes up and talks to him, but
yeah, fuck that.
No, we would talk to him.
Some people have reported seeing a child.
Who's Weasel?
If we went somewhere on a pod trip and by chance we seen a ghost in a graveyard touching headstones, we're going.
Can't see
in.
Me shaking my head, but
dude,
I'm doing
listen,
it.
You can't, under his breath.
You can't see me shaking my head.
There's not a fucking chance. This is how it would go.
I would hold the mics and you guys would be gone.
You would be like, someone would say, look at that. We'd already be on heightened edge like a couple of meerkats.
But it'd be fucking Scooby-Doo. It'd be like, ghost! Out of there. Fucking
we'd take off. It'd be me and Andrew for a race for first place, followed closely
buddy,
by Dan.
I would fucking smoke you. You're not that skinny, buddy. You could not fucking keep up to me on your best day. Enough of that shit. You
buddy,
gotta, like,
when this locomotive gets moving, baby, get out the way. All right?
Just, you're dreaming, dude.
Train,
I'd smoke you.
Don't stop.
Man.
So it'd be me.
But you'd blow another ACL. You'd blow another ACL. And next thing you know, Mr. Tall, Dark, and fucking Scary comes walking up to you mumbling, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, everybody in the council, come on, let's ride. And you're fucking dead. You're dead. Because you got
and
no
ACLs.
And then
I become part of the song.
Which number would you
be the next number up?
I'd be mumble number 6. No, Zell would hang out for a split second longer than everyone, and then Zell lets out this like really, he has like this distinct Zell scream. I've heard it a couple times. Where it's like, and he would do that and then follow suit right after. And that's exactly how it would go. There is no way that we're talking to someone.
No, I talk a huge game until I got there.
Nope, I'd turn around, walk the other way.
No, what would really happen is we'd have our mobile recorders. I'd prime it. We'd do it. You guys would run. I would stay a fraction longer, and then I would also run, but drop the recorder and be recording the whole time. We ran away, but we'd have to go back for it for the content for the pod, and that's where the real shit would start going down.
You would drop the recorder because you would turn into a fucking bat and fly away, and bats don't have hands. That's
yeah. Bat?
Possibly.
Last thoughts on the Bridgewater Triangle?
Just like the Bermuda Triangle, this place is a supernatural hotspot on the planet. How else can you account for every type of supernatural, cryptid, and haunting on
I can account for it right now.
What's that?
All this shit started at the Drunken Clam. Two guys sitting at a table. Guy's fucking wasted. And he goes, you know what I saw? I saw a giant burning thing in the fucking sky. And it was an alien. And the other guy was like, you know what? Well, you know what I fucking saw? I fucking saw Sam Squatch. Oh, yeah, buddy? Well, I also saw fucking Puckwudgies. And they just sit there and go back and forth and try and one-up each other. Because this makes it no fucking sense.
Oh, you think you're wicked scary.
Yeah.
Two fucking drunk guys trying to one-up each other. That's where
you know what I saw your fucking mother last night. How about that?
Yeah. How do your mother phone me?
I saw something real scary last night. Your mother.
That's how it
happened. You talk about my mother?
And then just went up like that. And then
and progressed.
Spread from that.
That's how the party started. All the stories, everything.
It does fall into Craig's Triangle, and we know that Craig's like so much weird shit happens in Craig's Triangle, which is my own triangle that I've created. It's real.
It's
canon now. Tons of weird shit happens in there, but it's the mix of like already being a weird Native American like, you know, folklore of like being very, very spiritual area. Then you mix like all this pain and suffering. And then, you know, the history and it starts to, and you get people having these spooky experiences. I think the veil's just very thin in this area and it allows for these things, you know, maybe they're not physical. Maybe they're just, you were just seeing through the veil in these areas. And this is one of those spots. That's what I think.
We got to go pod trip 20, whatever we can go again.
Buddy,
we're
returning the belt.
Have to.
We're returning the belt. We got to have someone in the show that can make us a ceremonial ATT one-up belt.
100%.
Right? Send it to us, and we will return it to the Bridgewater Triangle and lift the curse.
Lift the curse of Earth 2020. We can do it.
Yeah. So
I'm sick that trip.
Dan, what do you think? What do you think? What's your thoughts on the Bridgewater Triangle?
I think you have a an area that has a long history of human habitation, and like you said, there's a lot of legend, folklore that surrounds that area from both Native American and European settlers, kind of intermingling in that thing. So you have all these legends coming together and just having a lot of strange effect in there, whether it's some sort of supernatural that some people try to explain it or theorize that it's some sort of like vortex that happened. Perhaps it's something like, like you have the legend and folklore from your European settlers and their mindset intermingling or somehow interacting with the spiritual, folklore and legends of the Native Americans, and then somehow manifesting itself within this triangle, within this, localized within this area for some reason. And again, like you said, the veil is thin. So both their legends and folklore and their things from their minds, from their collective consciousness spawn these creatures or these apparitions.
I like it.
Which, mm-hmm. Which we can see.
Well put. So
perhaps it's something like that.
I like that a lot.
I mean, that's good. I liked mine a lot, but that's good too.
What was yours again?
It sucked. Some fucking clam bullshit.
Trying to fucking one up each other.
Why don't we get into a little bit of space news?
Space news!
Don't you ever say that again. I say that.
You shut your fucking face.
Timing.
You push the buttons. Don't you say a word over there.
Yeah, you push the buttons. Listen, you motherfucker. You push the buttons, okay? I say it.
What do we got?
All right. Space news. Big day, man. SpaceX, private company, launching two astronauts into space from U.S. soil in the first time in 9 years. Did you guys catch that live?
I seen it live. I did a video on our socials. But if you didn't see it live, I'm going to steal the video from C-SPAN. I'm going to play it right now. I'm going to play the top 10 Ooh. Or the 10 second countdown. T minus 10,
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Here it goes.
Look at that thing.
Dude,
can you imagine
SpaceX
for a second?
Falcon 9 rocket with the Dragon crew on top. Lift off.
Look at that thing go, man. What a moment.
It's pretty impressive.
It's dope. Hey, you guys know what? That's nothing more. If you go back to case file 42, that's nothing more than a tinfoil cylinder with firecracker on the bottom.
Yeah.
Pretty remarkable how far SpaceX has come.
Yeah.
Boom.
It's crazy.
I watched like 15 minutes until it was in orbit and released the capsule.
Every time I see a space rocket launch like this, I think of that scene in Austin Powers when it's like it's flying over the radar, and what's that guy's brother with the big gap teeth is like, sir, sir. Well,
Ron
it looks
Howard's
like a
brother.
Big, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Ron
it's like,
Howard's
sir,
brother, yeah.
It looks like a big, and it's like Johnson. You see that over there? Who wants a Johnson? That's what I think of anytime I see any kind of launch like that. It absolutely incredible.
I launched on Saturday, and then just was probably Sunday evening Pacific time. The docking of the space station. Got that video right here. Going to play it too. You can go to YouTube.com and look for Alien Theorists. Yeah, let's fucking play that. So this is the docking. Oh, slow and steady. Slow and steady with the.
Is that real time?
That's real time.
Now, is this controlled by the astronauts, or is this all?
I don't.
It's autopilot.
Autopilot by this point, yeah. I think. Yeah.
I know they tested it. They did some adjustments with like a touchscreen within the capsule itself, but most of it was automated because it looks like the funny thing is like it looks like it's going slow, but the actual thing is like it's you're actually moving at like thousands of miles per hour.
Yeah, it's like
hundreds of miles per
hour.
Yeah, it's like 25,000 kilometers per hour they're flying at right now.
Yeah.
But because it's relative in space like that. Yeah, in space, and there's no, it just seems super slow, but they're just moving that fast.
Yeah.
It's also, they like NASA had a, like a module Docker, like game you could play, a web browser game. It's
hard.
Friggin' hard. And it, I had a lot of spare time at work. And so you would take your module and you would just like, you had to like have all the accesses perfect and slowly like bring it in. And it took like, I was almost successful once and it took me like 15 minutes to bring it in playing a game. Because the other times I'd like rush it in and like you could never, once you were close, you couldn't, it was almost impossible to get lined up. And then when you take your time, it took me like 15 minutes to get it in and I fucked it up right at the last second. Got too impatient.
You blew it.
Yeah, I blew it.
And you would have been dead.
This isn't so much, yeah, everyone died. I blew up the ISS.
You blew up everybody.
Just because as a species, we're jealous and we don't like other species prospering, we found a way to infect mice with coronavirus so we could fuck up the mice world too.
Yep.
So,
the space news?
I just thought it was funny.
Earth is in space. This is on Earth. Space news.
Yeah, space news. So we found a way to infect mice with coronavirus because we want to ruin...
good news as far as vaccines go, actually.
Well, yeah, exactly. The scientists were pumped because initially, like they always do, they use rodents first when they're doing their testing, but the coronavirus wasn't, for whatever reason, was not taking in mice. Like it was not setting like the infection. So they use CRISPR, the genetic, like the gene modifying splicing program that they've developed to make sure that the mice could contract COVID-19, therefore giving them something to study for vaccine trials. So super crazy, but maybe hopefully we can maybe good in the end.
That's how we create mouse men.
Not good. That's how you get biker mice from Mars.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a good show.
Cool. Moto was a badass. A
weird show, but cool.
Weird, but cool. Yeah. So
I wonder if it holds up. I have fond memories of that
show. Yeah, I have fond memories, but I don't really recall.
It doesn't hold up. Either does Street Sharks doesn't hold up either.
Street Sharks? Terrible.
Yeah.
Street Sharks is real bad.
Mm. Yeah, it's not. It doesn't hold up at all. It's terrible.
Fucking such a cool concept, though, when I was a kid. Fucking sharks with little human fucking legs wearing work boots and short shorts.
Roller blades.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, how did they swim? They didn't have fins.
They had a back fin.
Yeah, but that doesn't do shit.
You can steer.
Those guys were sinking for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. So juiced out.
What was their origin story?
They were like fucking football players. They're linebackers.
Oh, linebackers that got mixed in with.
I mean, yeah, but they were like regular people.
It was the village people if they got injected with half shark blood, basically. Astronomers just narrowed down the source of those powerful radio signals from space. It's an interesting article. Talks about the deep space fast radio bursts, and we are getting better at tracking them. So since 2007, we've been finding them off and on, and we weren't sure where they're from. And now we're starting to figure out that they can be from neutron stars, black holes, pulsars with companion stars, imploding pulsars, blitzars, gamma ray bursts, emitting giant flares, and aliens. But
launching aliens through space?
Well, we don't know. We don't know if it's from aliens.
Gamma rays. We're going to have Hulks. Better be careful.
Yeah. But we're getting better at locating them. And we're starting, in this article, it says that we've detected them from some planets. So interesting times. Who knows, man? The Pentagon released UFOs videos. Anything's possible.
Yeah, during the pandemic and no one even seen them.
Listen, it's 2020. Anything's possible. We can do anything.
We got Planet of the Corona Apes now, too.
Yeah, you got monkeys stealing coronavirus samples out of a lab. What's next?
Together, ape strong.
Anyone else? Anyone else have space news? I think that's all I had.
Mysterious anomaly weakening the Earth's magnetic field. Oh, our shields are going down.
Oh, shit.
Oh, what? Yeah. I remember reading that. And it's splitting in two.
Right. My theory is some sort of energy entity and it is sapping our, it is some sort of like magnetic field parasite that is latched onto Earth. And now it is, now it's sapped enough where it doesn't completely, cause it's not a bad, it's not a totally bad parasite. So a good parasite keeps the host alive. So now this parasite is feeding off our magnetic field of, you know, of our planet. And it is now, because they said now it's splitting in two, or it seems to be like it's evolving, or it's starting
multiplying.
They said it could possibly split this thing. It's the South Atlantic anomaly. They call it the South Atlantic anomaly.
Yeah, it stretches like from South America to like the southern tip of Africa, and it's splitting. So does that mean?
Well, that's what they're saying. It possibly looks like it could be splitting because of this, because if you look at it, the part of it, like there seems like to be a part of it that's kind of like starting to kind of split off or like move off to the, you know, to the west, a little east a bit. So possibly could be split. Now, geophysicists seem to think that it has something to do with our core. So either we're going to get a crack team together and send people down into the core of the planet.
It's going to stop spinning. And we got to go. We got to go jumpstart it, or the fucking world's going to collapse.
With a nuke,
yes, has to.
We've seen that that works.
Yep,
do it.
I'm in.
You son of a bitch! I'm in. Sign me up.
A lot of good Albertans looking for some drilling work. I know we could put together a crack team and get to the center of the planet. No problem.
So that's my theory. It's some sort of intergalactic, you know, magnetic
succubus
field parasite, and it is feeding on our electromagnetic field, and now it's reproducing, now it's splitting, it's absorbed enough energy where it's going to split, but it's not that much. Apparently it's only like since the last time they've you know detected it, it's like 9%, like our magnetic field from 100% is like, it's taken away like 9% of its effectiveness or something like that.
That seems like a lot though. 9%
seems like, yeah, a lot.
How fast did it drain 9%?
Couple years.
If 2020 couldn't get worse, now you have a intergalactic parasite draining the magnetic field of the planet. Great.
Interesting times.
Interesting. Fun times, everybody.
Woo.
Okay, why don't we fire up the randomatron and get a UFO case file of the week? Let's see what it is.
Let's do it. I fixed it this week. Oh, yeah, it's running seamless.
Smooth.
Mongoose Spy.
Oh, shit. Mongoose File, baby.
Be right. Forewarned, listener, if you're sensitive. I've just peeked into this one. If you're a sensitive person, you're squeamish, fucking good night.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking gross.
Good night. Keep those eyes in the skies.
But do we have a pic? Do you have a picture I can pull up?
Buckle up. I'll give you a link to an article that you can put in Discord if you want.
Sure.
So obviously at the beginning of these things, we know this happens to, didn't happen to me, but it happened to a friend of a friend of mine. Right?
Yeah, of course.
But in order for me to tell a story, which bothers some people, I put it in first person. This is easier to tell a story that way.
Yep.
Yeah, it's easier to steal other people's accomplishments.
Exactly. Take all that credit.
Yeah. But
okay, so this takes place, you know, in a Canadian city on the West Coast.
Hypothetically.
I'm not gonna tell you which city. Hypothetically. Let's picture it there. You know what I mean? A nice green forested area.
Yeah.
You know, some
mountains,
might say like
ocean. That's what I'm picturing.
I might say like Coquitlam, British Columbia, but that's just, you know, that's just to paint the picture for
us. Just go there, but it's not really there.
So, you know, our friend of a friend of ours, he was at work one day, and they got a call. And it was peculiar to start with, because the call was generated by the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it comes in, and and it's a very little blurb on the ambulance's CAD system that says, psychiatric was the code for the call. Mental health, psychiatric call. And they said, at the scene of a forest fire, psychiatric female, bizarre behavior, code 3 response.
Oh shit!
So we're close. We're not too far away. We get there pretty quick. You know, we could see that the fire department was already there and the police and ambulance were dispatched to it. So, you know, we come cruising up. And as we're going, you can see, like, multiple sites of smoke coming up. So there's multiple little, look like multiple little spot fires. You know, as we're pulling up, there's a big fire in the middle of this clearing in this we're going to say it's a park. It's a forested park area. And there's this really big fire in the middle and then a bunch of little fires surrounding this. And then there's this lady that's kind of blocking the fire department from advancing into the area. And you could see there was a fire captain there and he was in a heated argument with this lady. And as you approach, you could see that, like, the lady's eyes, like, her eyes were crazy dilated and she looked just absolutely bizarre. So I walked up to the captain and I'm like, hey, man, you know, why don't I jump in here real quick? She doesn't look violent. Let me talk to her. Maybe we can kind of talk her down and you guys can get at those fires. The fires didn't look out of control by any means, but definitely not the type of place that you're allowed to be having fire. So I approach this lady and I say, hey, ma'am, listen, you know what I mean? Like, you obviously know that you can't do this here. It's dangerous. Why don't we get you in the back of the ambulance? We can talk about what's going on. They're going to put out those fires. You know, it's not a safe spot to be in. And this lady's like, listen, you need to get out of here. Everybody needs to get out of here. It's none of your business. Leave. And you know what I mean? I'm about, I want to say 30 feet away from this giant fire. And now these little fires surrounding, you can see, and they look like there's these large pots that are on these fires. And like the first thing that kind of like dawns on me is it's just this like fucking rancid smell coming from the fire. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, what's going on? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you burning here? And she's talking to me. She's like,
I don't
know
what you mean yet.
I'm just burning bad meat. Just burning bad meat. It's none of your business. You guys need to leave. You guys got to get out of here.
And she's
pushing me in my shoulders. And I'm like, hey, listen, first of all, don't fucking touch me, please. Mm-mm-mm. Second of all, you know, this isn't safe. The cops aren't here. There's way more leg room in an ambulance than a police car. Like, you want to, you know, come with us. It's better. And as I'm talking to this lady, I can't help but stare at the fire that's in the center, this big fire. And I'm staring at it because it looks, there's just something weird in the fire. And she's talking, she's rambling, she's not making sense. And I'm just looking over her shoulder, staring at this fire. And I can't figure out, like, it's just, I'm looking at it, I'm like, what the fuck is that? There's an object in this fire.
No.
And then just fucking dawns on me. I'm like, that's an ass. That's a human ass.
Oh.
Okay. So anyways, cops come, arrest her. We don't stick around long. We take her in the ambulance, head down towards to the hospital. And I'm talking to her. She doesn't say a word to me in the back of the ambulance. Just stares. Like just cringeworthy, creepy staring. And you know what I mean? The whole time in the back of my head, I'm like, what was that? Like, that looked like somebody's ass. Like, that's so bizarre. And then within 10 minutes of us being at the hospital, 6 cops show up, throw in handcuffs, take her away.
No.
Look at the news the next day. And there's a report of somebody's sister missing. And it's got a picture of the person who is suspected for this crime, and it was our patient. No. Turns out she killed her sister, chopped her up in pieces, and brought her up to this provincial park and tried burning the body.
Tried burning the body?
Burning the body. She had like 6 different fucking pots with, like, her head was in one pot, hands, arm, like, oh man. And then she threw the torso in the main fire. And it was like, man, the smell was like nothing I've ever smelled before. It was like the most disgusting. And it wasn't the burning body that stunk the bad. It was the boiling pots that fucking just reeked, man.
Ugh.
Oh, it was fucking gross.
That's pretty gross.
It was pretty gross.
Happened to a friend
soup's
of a friend.
On.
Hot soup.
Hot soup.
Hot soup. Hot soup.
Ugh, that's disgusting. We got a theory of the week?
Not off the cuff.
All right. Then it's me yet again.
No, we can just say that your alien theorists are against any form of discrimination, prejudice, or racism currently going on. And we're here for you. If you need to talk, we're standing with you. So let us know.
Hell yeah.
Let us know what we can do.
Let's, what else we do at the end of these things? You got some names you want to make up or what?
I'll make up a couple of names. It was a low week on Patreon, but we have John Becker Cattleman, Teresa Mendez, Ruben Ceballos, maybe. I think we read them last time, but yeah, I think we read. Low week, always at the start of the month, the turnover. It's just normal.
Anything else before we end the show? Zell, you got a band of the week?
Band of the week is going to be my band, Lucky Monkey. I'm going to play a song off our latest EP, which was came out last year. It's called Nothing to Lose, while we're about to release a song coming real soon. So a lot of people forgot that we're an actual band because the last 3 months we haven't done shit. So
I'm going to say I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping to get an original by Zeltron.
Oh, do you want an original by Zeltron?
I want the synth.
Yeah, I want
an
original by Zeltron.
You want unreleased Zeltron?
Yeah.
I want an unreleased Zeltron. Release it.
All right. I'm gonna play the theme song of our new call-in show called Cosmic Channels, which we have done 4 episodes for. It's not a real podcast yet, but it's coming. So if you want to be on Cosmic Channels, follow us. If you're not following us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, we are posting when we're taking calls, and we're putting together a live call-in show with a rotating weekly topic. So I'll play the theme song, custom made by yours truly, my new solo project, Zeltron, coming up at the end of the show. You cannot download or find the song anywhere online quite yet, but it's coming.
Not yet.
It's coming. Is that all we have?
Yeah. Oh, that's it. I forgot that I am these shows. Keep those eyes on the skies. Thanks, everyone.
Peace.
Stupid sexy brain.
Timing.
Timing.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.